His name forever shall endure. Whose name is it that we're thinking about? Well, I'm sure that the person who applied that title to Psalm 72 was only thinking of one name and only thinking of one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thought comes from verse 17 in this psalm. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Now, surely that applies to our Lord Jesus Christ. In this book of Psalms, there are a number of psalms that are called messianic psalms, to do with the Messiah. They're called messianic psalms because they are quoted in the New Testament and they are applied directly to Jesus Christ. Now, this psalm, number 72, it may surprise you, is actually not one of those messianic psalms, because it is not quoted in the New Testament and applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. However, there are certain messianic themes in this psalm, as we shall see. The heading is that it is a psalm for Solomon, or a psalm of Solomon. Maybe a psalm that Solomon wrote, one of his psalms. It may be a psalm that was written by someone for him. It seems as though this psalm was inspired by Solomon's accession to the throne. And taken very simply, this psalm has been written as though by a loyal subject who wants God's blessing upon the new young king. But as we read this psalm, we discover that there is an ideal king who is portrayed in this psalm. And this ideal king is more than Solomon. He goes beyond Solomon. What does verse 8 say? He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Now, was that true of Solomon? No. He didn't have such dominion as that. What about verse 11? All kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Well, some kings and queens did come to Solomon and recognized how great he was. But this takes us beyond Solomon. All kings falling down before him. You can compare this with Psalm 2, verse 8. Now, Psalm 2 is definitely messianic. And it speaks there, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Here is one who is going to have all the earth, and he's going to reign everywhere. Well, that's the same thought that we have in Psalm 72. It must speak of Christ. This didn't happen in Solomon's lifetime, did it? We read just now in verse 17, men shall be blessed in him, all nations shall call him blessed. Did that happen as far as Solomon was concerned? No, not completely in his 40-year reign. This psalm certainly takes us beyond Solomon. It takes us to one who is greater. Now, the psalms are poems. So we're not going to analyze this psalm verse by verse. Instead, I want to take five short themes and relate them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first being his rejection. His rejection. Verse 17. His name shall endure forever. Now you say, what's that got to do with rejection? I can't see rejection in this verse. No. We have to connect this with another psalm. Psalm 41, verse 5. Now this is actually a very interesting connection. Psalm 41, verse 5. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? David, the writer of Psalm 41, had enemies who were speaking evil of him. And the one thing they wanted was for him to die and his name to perish, his name to be forgotten. That's what the enemies wanted. Do you remember what happened when when Jesus had died, when he was buried. You remember how the gospel writers tell us that the chief priests and Pharisees came to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver said when he was alive. He said he would rise from the dead on the third day. Please seal the tomb so that his disciples cannot come by night and steal his body away and then claim that he is risen from the dead. And the last error will be worse than the first." What did they want? They wanted him dead. They wanted him forgotten. And that's the background to Psalm 72 as we're looking at it this evening. That was Satan's wish. He wanted Christ defeated. That's what the enemies wanted. His name to be forgotten, that he might perish. What's God's answer? Here's the second point. Going back to Psalm 72, verse 17, we learn there of his reputation. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. There we learn of his reputation. They were saying of him, "When shall he die? When shall his name perish that he might be forgotten?" Here's God's answer. His name's not going to be forgotten. His name shall endure forever. As long as the sun is in the sky, his name will be remembered. Men are going to be blessed in him. In fact, all nations, people of all nations, are going to call him blessed. This name of the Lord Jesus Christ is loved by millions. In fact, his name and what he has done divides time. It divides BC from AD, even if the BBC recently have decided that they're not going to use those terms anymore. In that lovely hymn, "Here is love, vast as the ocean," it goes on to say, "Who his love will not remember? Who shall cease to sing his praise? He will never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days." He's never going to be forgotten. You see those hosts in heaven described in Revelation chapter 5. And what are they doing? They are recognizing the reputation the Lord Jesus Christ has. They know his name is going to continue to be praised. And they're singing his praises. And they are worshipping him. Men wanted him to be forgotten. They wanted his name to perish in that rejection of him. But such is his reputation. His praises are sung by us tonight. His reputation is great. Now let's look at a third thing in Psalm 72. It's his return. Verse 6 says, "He shall come down." Now I don't want to misapply this verse, but there is a truth in that little phrase, "He shall come down." When Jesus came the first time, there was that rejection that we've thought about. But he rose from the dead. He has that reputation. He is praised today. And he is going to return. That's what the Bible tells us in so many places. It tells us that Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall return. He shall appear the second time without sin, under salvation. Jesus is coming back, not to die again, not to deal with sin, but to bring in the fullness of salvation. As he left earth after his first coming, ascending to heaven, an angel appeared and said to those wandering disciples, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you've seen taken into heaven, shall come again in like manner." And the Bible tells us that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then believers who are living on earth at that moment shall be caught up with the dead who are raised, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. We shall be taken to our heavenly home to be forever with the Lord. And after that, Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth again. He shall come down. The prophet Zechariah tells us that his feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. And the return of Christ brings us on to the fourth thing I want us to think of. His reign. The psalm begins, give the king thy judgments. Now, what does a king do? A king reigns, doesn't he? I want us to notice two things about the reign of Christ. The first thing is the justice of his reign. That is brought out very clearly in the opening couple of verses. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. This king is going to be marked by righteousness. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and the poor with judgment, with justice. Now, justice is something that is lacking today, isn't it? How often we're aware in our courts that there is not justice. Things go wrong. There's corruption all around, isn't there? How true it is that money talks. Those who have money can use it to get unfair advantages for themselves. There's not going to be anything like that when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns as King of Kings. Verse 4 speaks of his concern for the poor. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and break in pieces the oppressor. He will deal with the powerful ones who oppress the poor. He will take the side of the poor. Connected with that, verse 3 speaks of peace. It's put very poetically. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring peace, but the peace is not disconnected from righteousness. The two are very much linked together. Because of the justice that he will bring, there will be peace as well. What does this poor world know of peace today? If you were delving back into history over the past 100 years, and you thought of every country in this world, how many days would there be in the past 100 years when there has been worldwide peace and no war anywhere? You'd probably have a job to count 10 days that were like that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace when he reigns. And as long as the sun and the moon are in the sky, they will fear him. He will bring refreshment to this troubled world. And in his days, verse 7 says, the righteous shall flourish, and there will be an abundance of peace. As long as the moon is in the sky, because of righteousness, there will also be peace. The justice of his reign. But a second thing as we think of his reign, what about the jurisdiction of his reign? Where is he going to reign? We've already touched upon that from verse 8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, from one ocean to another, and from the river Euphrates, unto the ends of the earth. He will reign everywhere. Such will be the jurisdiction of his reign. There are familiar places that the first readers of this psalm would have identified. Verse 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. They would have known where the wilderness was. People might hide away in the wilderness. Does that mean they would escape the reign of this king? No, no. They would come and they would bow before him. The early readers of this psalm would know these places. They would understand where the kings of Tarshish were and of the isles, the kings of Sheba and Seba. All these kings from these places will come to him bringing gifts. And it says, in fact, all kings shall fall down before him. Every other ruler is going to acknowledge the superiority of this ruler. All the nations shall serve him. It's put so well, I think, by Isaac Watts in that beautiful hymn, Jesus Shall Reign. What a poetic gift Isaac Watts had when he wrote, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moons shall wax and wane no more. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name. Blessings abound Where'er he reigns, the prisoner leaps to loose his chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want are blessed. Wherever people are, there will be blessing that will be enjoyed in the reign on earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are troubled times ahead for this planet. The Bible makes that very clear, because the world by and large has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will return. He will come down. And when he does, he will reign. He will reign from Jerusalem. And his reign will be marked by justice. And how widely he will reign. He will be king everywhere. Fifthly and finally, in verse 15, let us notice his renown. Prayer shall be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. What renown will be his in that day? This is hardly true of Solomon, is it? And he shall live. Solomon didn't carry on living. He only lived his lifetime. He died as a king. But gold is going to be brought, the most precious gifts, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer shall be made for him continually. Daily he shall be praised. Solomon was a great king. But as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he eclipses Solomon. Solomon just pales into insignificance. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he reigns on earth, will be praised daily. We also noticed in verse 17, men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. People are going to bless him. They're going to praise him. And at the same time, people will be blessed by him. His blessing will be upon all. What a fitting conclusion there is to the psalm in verses 18 and 19, where it reads, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel." Why is he blessed? Because he is the only one who does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We cannot utter enough to praise his name as we think of the renown, as we think of the fame, as we think of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom this is all about. His name forever shall endure. It will endure forever. We thought of his rejection, being found in fashion here as a man. The Lord Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But that was not the end. God has highly exalted his Son and given him a name which is above every name. The Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and what a reputation he has now among his people who sing his praises and who look for his return. And we know that he's going to reign one day, and we know he will be praised forever. Such will be his renown, as we read in verse 15. Prayer shall be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. What a wonderful future. But there's one final thing I want to say. We thought of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth in the future. But let's think of something else. What about now? Does he reign now in my heart and in my life? There's a little chorus. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love to me, lead me to Calvary. But that chorus actually is part of a hymn. And the hymn begins, King of my life, I crown thee now. You see, the two are connected. I'm not to forget Gethsemane. I'm not to forget the cross. That's why we come to break the bread and to drink the cup, to remember our Saviour. But when we think of what he has done, as shortly we will remember him, it should cause us to own that he's Lord of our lives, and to crown him King in our hearts. Before we come to remember him and worship him, let us sing a hymn based upon the psalm that we've read. Hymn 2.